Listen to the Confectionery Cast. My name is Mark Machado. Andre Walker cannot be here anymore because he doesn't like the same chocolates as me, but that's a different story. We are talking to Thea de Gallier.
Yep, I'm crunching.
And today we're going to be talking about dime bars.
Yes, we are.
Talk to me about your relationship with the dime bar.
The thing about dime bars is, I remember when they were spelt D-I-M-E.
Yes.
And then I don't know why they changed it, because what is a dame?
So,
does anyone know? Do you know?
Yeah, I know. I looked into this.
Oh my God. Tell me, because I don't know.
D-A-I-M, which is how they are currently spelt, is dime in Swedish.
Are they made in Sweden?
They are Swedish confectionery.
So why did they change it? What was wrong
because with... they were called D-A-I-M everywhere else in the world, apart from the UK.
Oh, so it was a bit
Ireland.
Like the GIF and SIF thing.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up for me.
No worries.
Well, I remember dime bars were always in the vending machine at the local leisure centre where I grew up. So when we had to go swimming with school, if anyone had been given any loose change by their parents, we'd get a dime bar. Except I used to have the dime bar, but I didn't do the swimming because I was always terrified of going in water. So I'd be that poor sod sat doing maths homework at the side of the pool. And I sort of looked forward to the dime bar at the end.
Fair enough. What was your aversion to swimming?
I still can't swim.
Really?
No.
Do you get into water? Like
I'll get into water, but I won't put my head underwater. I think I don't know what it is. I think it was just the feeling of, well, it's a bit scary, isn't it, when you're a kid and you're not in full control in water that's deeper than you if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it was always I'll go in water where I can put my feet down, but I will kind of paddle in the sea, but I won't go out any further than I can walk in it. I think it's the thought of being fully underwater or not being able to feel the floor because I panic and then I just start drowning.
When I was really, really young, I was really against bodies of water because my dad is obviously Sri Lankan and he seemed to think that the way you teach a child to swim is by just picking them up. And when I say young, I mean from the age of about being a toddler till about five and just throwing them into that body of water.
Oh my God.
So I was just like, I don't want this because it just feels horrible. And I've still got kind of, I don't want to say nightmares, but because I'm like, I can swim and I'm like, I'm all right with water now. But I can understand why people have that issue with water.
Yeah.
Because it's that feeling of being out of control.
That's exactly what it is. And I just don't like that. So I won't go on roller coasters either, I think, for the same reason, because you can't slow it down or stop it and get off. You're bound to whatever the roller coaster is doing
but
for the duration of the ride.
In defence of roller coasters, right, normally the people who run them have quite a lot more at stake than you do. As in, say, for example, if you're in Disneyland, like, Disneyland don't want reputational damage that would be caused by you having an accident on the roller coaster.
No,
so they have
true.
The best engineers they can possibly get to look after them, I assume.
You'd
and
hope.
Also, roller coasters last about 90 seconds, don't they?
Yeah, but that's 90 seconds too long of being thrust around at high speeds that I might not like. So I just would rather avoid them.
The thing I really like about roller coasters is actually the thing that people hate about, that you kind of described you hating about water and roller coasters, which is that for 90 seconds I'm out of control of my own life.
No,
but I know
I've
got to go with it. There's nothing else you can do.
No, I can't deal with that. We've very swiftly come off the topic of dime bars,
haven't we?
Yeah,
that's what happens. So how often do you have a dime bar?
Actually, not very often. I used to have them a lot more as a kid. And I think I did discover them through the school swimming lessons, which I reluctantly tagged along with and sat and did my homework while everyone else swam. I did try a bit of swimming, but I was that kid with about 10 floating aids strapped to my limbs.
Oh, no.
And that would still be me now if I tried to learn again as an adult. But I think I used to eat them a lot more as a child, but I don't know why I don't eat them very much. I like the taste of them. I like the crunchy toffee bit in the middle.
The contrasting texture.
The contrasting texture. I do enjoy that. But there's just, I don't know, there's just something about them that reminds me a bit of being miserable at school. So maybe they're not something that I eat that regularly because they've still got that connotation.
Do you remember the Harry Enfield adverts?
No.
So I remember I think it was about the mid-90s when Harry Enfield was, I can't remember what character it was. He was the face for the dime bar in the adverts. and they compared it to armadillos. I was obviously a child at the time, but I just loved the advert because I think the slogan was something like, it's soft on the outside, crunchy on the inside. And some, and I think it was Harry Enfield's character would come in and be like, oh yeah, but I prefer armadillos because they're crunchy on the outside and soft on the inside.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was big into armadillos at that stage of my life. So I was
actually, that's just reminded me. I went to see Dara O'Brien live once, and he said that he went to Australia and he was on a walking tour, and one of the other people on the tour, an armadillo, ran in front of him, so he booted it like a football, and everyone just turned and looked at him, and the tour guide just went, "You're not supposed to do that, mate."
I had one of the best steaks of my life. Are you a vegetarian? You,
no.
I had one of the best steaks of my life on a tour in Australia, which is somewhat similar to that. I've had three really good steaks in my life. One was in a truck restaurant, like a truck stop in Canada. And after that steak I had when I was, I think I was 16 when I ate it. I was there for my cousin's wedding. It was so good. I didn't eat a steak for 5 years afterwards. Because I was like,
because you didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah, because I was like, it's never going to get better than this. And then some years later, I was in Australia. This was about 5 years ago, actually, because the memory came up on Facebook the other day. And we were on some sort of tour in the northern rainforest in northern Queensland, and in the Daintree rainforest. And basically, the guy who was taking us on the tour was like, "I'm going to make you lunch now," and I wasn't expecting anything. And he just put this steak in front of me. And it was just the most perfectly cooked piece of meat.
I love a good steak.
Yeah.
There was actually a bit of a debate going on Twitter earlier because there's an MP, I think, I don't know the full details, but they're talking about making eating cats and dogs illegal, which I thought it already was, to be
honest.
I'm really
against that,
by the way. I think there is a loophole. Well, this is exactly what the debate was saying, that, you know, on a purely philosophical level, why is it any different to eating cows and chickens? And I don't want to eat cats and dogs, but it's not different, really, is it? Why? Who are we to say these animals are okay to eat, but these aren't? Like, you know, they're all species that are lower down the food chain than humans. And I believe that, and this is one of the reasons that I sort of justify eating meat in my head, is that if it wasn't us at the top of the food chain, there'd be another species farming us to eat.
Exactly.
So, really, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I don't agree with animals being treated inhumanely in the production line. There's ways that you can farm them and eat them without abusing them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really the same thing, isn't it?
Also, the only reason we don't eat cats and dogs, we eat cows, obviously, is cultural, right?
Yeah, so, it is. But like someone else pointed out, they are a delicacy in some countries. But they might look at us eating bacon, which, you know, pork obviously is not eaten by Muslims or Jews. That's seen as a dirty meat. So they look at all us in the West chowing down on our bacon and think we're disgusting. So
yeah,
it is purely a cultural
India,
thing.
Yeah, in India, they don't eat cows, right?
No, of course, yeah.
They worship cows,
yeah.
Or a lot of people in India do, not everyone. So they think, well, you know, talking about steak would be like horrifying for a lot of people over there. That's why every year, when, you know, not every year, every like 3 or 4 months, when that dog eating festival seems to reappear in China, and then all these petitions go around, I refuse to sign them. So I'm just like, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And like I said, I don't agree with animal abuse, and I don't think that is necessary or justifiable. And I think there is an argument to be made that a lot of those dogs probably are treated inhumanely. But the actual eating, I can't get wound up about.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't eat a dog myself or a cat.
I mean, if I was trapped on a desert island and it was eat a dog or die... you know, it depends on how well I got on with the dog.
The only thing about that conundrum is that basically, if you don't eat the dog, you have nothing, no companionship.
Well, this is the problem,
isn't it?
Of living? If you know you're going to be rescued, then maybe you would eat the dog to hold out until the rescue comes. But if it's just, okay, we're stuck here and this is it now, then yeah, you're right. There's no point because then you'd be alone. So you may as well just keep the dog and both die together.
Yeah. I mean, if it was you and me in the desert island, I'd just say, eat me. Fuck it.
You are quite meaty, aren't you?
Yeah. And I'm well marinated with all this chocolate. Let's go back to the confectionery hand. Do you eat a lot of chocolate and sweets anyway?
Well, I've
got... wanted initially to do Haribo.
I did. I can sit and eat a big packet of Haribo like a packet of crisps. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But I've got one of those metabolisms that I can just shovel crap down my throat and I don't really put on weight.
I do not have that metabolism.
I think it's getting a bit... I do get a bit of a... You know, I'm not toned because I don't really exercise. I'm the laziest person ever. But when I was younger, I definitely sort of wouldn't even really put anything on around the stomach or thighs or bum. And I do notice a bit more now that it gets a little bit looser. But I certainly don't just balloon. And, you know, obviously I'm lucky to have a body like that. I'll probably wake up and be about 50 stone when I reach 40 just from all this eating rubbish. But yeah, I wouldn't say I eat chocolate on a daily basis, but sometimes I will just have a real craving for a treat. So I'll go and I'll pick a film to watch, and then I'll go out and get a tub of Ben and Jerry's or a packet of Haribo, and I think, oh, I'll just have a few, and I just eat the whole thing. So it's, yeah, I don't have an off switch once I start.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, actually.
No, but yeah. Like I said, I'm not doing it every night. I'm not having a tub of Ben and Jerry's for dinner every night. I would not like to see the state of my cholesterol, given that my diet is not what you could describe as balanced. But no, sometimes I'll go through phases as well of craving really healthy things like Japanese broths or ramen or salads or, you know, stuff like that. So I don't feel
Japanese
like...
Japanese broths, you make these yourself?
Don't be stupid.
Okay, just checking.
No.
Well, hold on. If you're like a secret great Japanese cook, I want to come round.
Absolutely not. Sorry, I'm crunching on my dime bar.
Yeah.
No, it's Uber Eats and Deliveroo that helped me out with that one. Or I just rope into someone to come out for dinner with me if I have a ramen craving. But yeah, there are a lot of healthy foods that I like and I enjoy, which are full of veg and protein and what have you. I just don't cook them. So it's actually quite expensive for me to eat, because if I was left to my own devices, I cannot bear the cooking process. I hate it. I would happily live on those packets of astronaut mulch just so I didn't have to prepare any food, and then eat out like twice a month to get some actual proper food.
I've never eaten those astronaut mulch.
I haven't.
I do wonder, right, why we don't all just eat those things all the time, because surely that would just solve all our health issues.
Isn't there that thing called Huel?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like protein shakes, but they're meals in a powder, and you just drink them. And they say that you can just have that as your diet. I mean, I haven't read up on it.
Yeah, I don't know what's in it. I mean, have you ever... Because, you know, I play rugby, so I occasionally go into the protein shakes, and... They are a meal substitute, I suppose, but I don't think I could live on them.
Well, no, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff lacking that you can't get from them that you do from veg and fruit and all of that.
Yeah, so what you do, though, is you can get a diet written up for you that will give you all the supplements that you need, and there's all the other things that...
Well, I feel like if someone did that for me and wrote down exactly what I should be eating to get enough of everything, because I feel like there's so much information out there about food and what it contains, that it's really, if you don't have an interest in it or you feel overwhelmed by the amount of info that's out there, then you could just give up at the start, which, you know, I get an anxiety attack just going to the supermarket, because I go in with the intention of thinking, oh, I'll, you know, I should buy healthy and fresh stuff. But then I start going, well, what if I don't use it in time? Then I end up throwing it away. Or
have you got a slow cooker? I've got a slow cooker.
No, my mum keeps recommending that.
Yeah. Things, I'll chuck it in there.
But yeah, the whole process of the organisation of it really just, I can't deal with it. I'm not exaggerating when I say it makes me very anxious. So I suppose going back to the sweets and chocolate, I guess I probably... I suppose if I'm having a night in watching a film with a Ben and Jerry's, I may have that as a sort of dinner substitute.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think I probably would feel very differently if I had the sort of metabolism where it showed that I was eating like that.
Like I do.
But, you know, not saying that anybody who is bigger should feel bad about the way they look or anything like that. But for me personally, I think I... take for granted.
Well, there's health reasons why you shouldn't be overweight.
Of course, yeah. I think if I personally wouldn't want to be, and that probably would spur me into more action in terms of what I eat if I did noticeably my body started expanding in that way. I don't know. I feel like I need some sort of personal chef.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would. It really would.
I do. When I fantasize about becoming rich, there's like two things that I really want to do. One's buy Liverpool Football Club, but I don't think I'll ever get that rich. And the other would be just have my own personal chef who just came around and like was watching everything I eat.
I think I would have
three times a day.
Yeah, I would have a personal chef who I, you know, when I'm super rich in my dreams, I would have, you know, he could have his own sort of living annex in my house. So kind of like a lodger, but his own space as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe if I had enough room, I'd even have a maid.
I
sound terrible, don't I?
No, the thing is, right, so the weird thing is both my parents are immigrants, right? And when we were kids, we'd go back to Sri Lanka, like, our family over there lived with maids and cooks.
Mm.
But they weren't overly, like, they weren't excessively wealthy people. They're rich compared to, they're like middle class people from Colombo, right? And in some parts of the world, it's still normal that middle class people had.
Well, I think in like Hong Kong and Singapore as well,
yeah.
And South Africa, I think they still have a lot of that culture. But I think, you know, if you're rich enough to afford that and you treat them well and you pay them well, or, you know, especially if you're providing them with somewhere to live as well and you don't look down on them or see them as lesser, then it's not really, you know, obviously if you're doing it with that sort of attitude that they're not as good as you or whatever, then I don't think that at all. But if you're literally just providing a job, it's not really that bad.
Yeah, well, the thing is I think in like basically middle class society in London, right, and I suppose the rest of the country, is a lot of people here are cleaners, right?
Yeah.
And the only reason why they only come in and clean like 3 or 4 hours a week and aren't in there all the time is effectively because we can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
So when you say to someone when people talk about how they wouldn't have a maid in the UK, it's effectively the main reason for that is because they can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
But I think most people would have a maid if they could.
I think
that's perfectly like a reasonable thing to aspire to.
I know, but it just feels like because it's seen as the assumption is made that you think you're better than doing those tasks if you talk about wanting a maid or a chef or whatever, when it's not always that. I mean, for some people it might be, but for me, I just find it really hard to get organised with life admin. And I think part of it probably is laziness, but I feel very overwhelmed a lot of the time with just keeping on top of stuff like that.
See, I just refuse to, there's some life admin bits I just refuse to do.
Oh, well, I iron
my clothes.
Like, I don't even own an iron. Who needs to iron?
A really flash iron, and I will iron if I'm going to something special.
I don't even own one.
So you never iron anything?
No. If it's really creased, I just get the hair straighteners on it.
I obviously don't have eye straighteners. My girlfriend does that. I could use that.
Like, but I just tend to not buy stuff that really would need a lot of ironing. So
I like doing laundry, but ironing... I like ironing. I just don't have the time for ironing. And if I had more time, I'd iron more.
I don't think even if I had more time that I would... I don't know. I mean, it's difficult because I feel like living in London, you don't ever really have a lot of time because if you're going into work every day, like travelling into work, or you're working a job where the hours are a bit all over the place, sort of live broadcast like we do, then I find I just want to get home and just chill out. I don't want to think about work anymore. I don't want to have to be on my feet doing more chores. I just think I need to conserve some mental energy for doing it again the next day. So really, I do look in wonder at people that have children and hold down a full-time job, because I don't have any kids, I don't have a partner, I only have myself to think about, and even I struggle with that. So
No, I know what you mean. I don't understand how they fit everything in.
I mean, I find it if you gave me kids now,
my kids would go feral. I'd just be like, oh fuck it, just go out into the wild, children.
Go and forage.
Yeah, go
forage for some dime bars.
Yeah, forage for dime bars. Your birthday is such and such date. Come see me that day, and then Christmas. Let's spend Christmas together.
Yeah.
And that would be it.
Well, I always think as well, human babies come out so much more useless than other species. Look at most mammals. I mean, a giraffe gives birth, the baby falls out of it and lands on the floor, and yet then it just gets up and starts walking immediately. Like, why can't humans do that?
Well, maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to just be a bit more wild with our children. Maybe we do need them to go a bit stray.
I feel like if they were a bit more independent when you gave birth to them, they would be a more appealing prospect.
Yeah.
But they're just so rubbish. They don't do anything.
They are quite cute. They are cute. I think they're cute.
I guess some are.
Because, like, so, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say it, actually.
Well, you've got to say it now, you said
gonna,
that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say it, right. So you know when people compare their pets to children? They're yeah. Like, my pets are like my children. There's two things in that. There's like, the thing about children is they grow up, they become, they get older,
yeah.
And they become more, you know, more aware of their environment, where pets don't do that. So in a way, I always think when they do that, it's actually like your pets are your babies.
Well, that's what people do call them, like they're fur babies. Or,
yeah.
You know,
and it's actually just that they just want to have somebody who's part of it, is they just want to have something that's totally dependent on them the whole time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I just find it quite annoying when people talk about their pets like that.
Yeah. I'm a pet owner, but I find it annoying when people talk about yeah, their pets being their children.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I love understand a pet. How you can slip into it. I think pets are great, and I would definitely choose pets over children any day. But
really?
Oh, God, yeah.
But pets won't ever grow up and fend for themselves.
Pets are cute and fluffy.
That's true. But pets will... The thing about having a pet is it will always, always lead to heartbreak.
Well, that's true.
Because the pet's going to die.
I don't know. I suppose I'm just coming at it from the angle of really not wanting to have kids ever. So... You know, choosing a cancerous tumour would probably be more appealing to me than having kids. So,
yeah, this has got really far away from chocolate.
Yes, it really has, doesn't it? We keep drifting off.
Yeah, so let's talk about chocolate again.
Yeah.
Because this is getting quite dark, isn't it?
A little bit,
cancerous tumours.
Well, no, I mean, that's probably an exaggeration, to be honest. But, yeah.
So when I was trying to buy the dime bars, I went to all the supermarkets. They didn't have them. I had to go to a little corner shop and get them.
There's some chocolate that's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can only get them in very niche places.
Yeah, but I didn't think the dime bar was that niche. I just thought I'd be able to go to Tesco.
I didn't think it was that niche, but have you noticed in little corner shops as well, they do dairy milks with all kinds of weird and wonderful fillings that you don't get.
Yeah, including one with a dime filling.
I know. I've seen that. I do enjoy that one.
Do you know why that happened?
Why?
It's because the company that created dime was bought over by Kraft and is now owned by Kraft Mondelez. Which is the parent company that owned Cadbury's as well. So part of the reason why they put all these other chocolate bars into the dairy milk is then you can just market the dairy milk and right at the end go also available in Dime and all the other caramel and all the other bars that we used to love. So yeah, everything will eventually become a dairy milk or Galaxy.
Wow,
that's
some monopoly
business. Yeah,
wow,
or that's, duopoly, but yeah,
yeah, that is wow. That's something you could write about, that couldn't you? Do an investigation.
I could, yeah.
Into the.
I don't think there's much to write about. I think that's it.
Like, just chocolate and capitalism, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine though because I like in a way the one thing about confectionery is that wherever you go in the world you'll be able to find a dime bar. There won't be many places, or you'll be able to find some Cadbury's products at least.
That's true. I don't think Cadbury's stuff has really reached America. I don't see a lot of it over there. They have their own chocolate, which is not
terrible.
Nice.
It's disgusting. It is
disgusting. But even their sweets, their gummy sweets, are just so that you can taste the additives and the chemicals in them. At least things like Haribo make an effort to, you know, if there's a watermelon flavour one, you think, oh, I can actually taste a bit of watermelon.
I deliberately try not to get political in this podcast, right? But the reason for that is literally the EU, because they've got their standards in play. EU standards mean that you can't put as much crap.
Well, you can tell just by eating an American sweet. You really can tell. But I tell you what else I think about chocolate. I'm not, you know, I will eat them or drink them even, but milkshakes made out of chocolate bars. I just feel like, is that necessary? Do you need to make every chocolate bar into a milkshake and then do it for the Instagram value? It's a bit of a hipster food trend, isn't
it?
I'm
a big fan of the Oreo milkshake.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I will sort of drink them and some of them are nice, but others I feel like if you try to do it with a dime bar, because they're so hard and crunchy, you just end up with loads of little bits in it. It doesn't really translate well to being blended into a milkshake.
Yeah, I get that. I once had a Ferrero Rocher milkshake and I thought I was going to have a heart attack after it, because I think there's about 6 Ferrero Rochers in them.
Oh my
and
god,
loads of milk and ice and chocolate ice cream, and it was just like, oh my god, what have I just done to myself? And I'm not really a big fan of the Instagramification of the food.
Well, I think that's the problem. It's not that they exist or people are blending chocolate bars. It's the fact that everything now has to be on Instagram.
Instagrammable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instagram is ruining food but making everything a bit more better looking.
Yeah. It actually has.
Yeah. Though, I don't know if I really got a strong opinion about it, to be fair. Maybe, yeah, maybe it's a good thing that we're getting a bit more creative with the way food looks.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I feel like there's almost this, you know, a lot of people now just can't go out to eat without putting it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And not everything has to be
and
like
also,
that.
The other thing about Instagram, right, I obviously like a large portion, and Instagram has made portions tiny because it's really hard to make a big piece of meat look good. Yeah, but if it's like a nicely delicate cut, then it can look
yeah.
great.
But then I feel like it's also kind of led to a bit of a trend where if you eat sort of bland stuff or ready meals or stuff that you just shove in the oven, some people will be snobby about that because it's not all freshly cooked and creative and vegan. And, you know, it's. I just feel like it leads to another way of shaming people for what they eat.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, for me, I find Instagram quite fascinating, right? Because I'm obviously on all, like, I am on Instagram, but all I ever put on it are pictures of comic books, okay? Because I was, like, I used to put pictures of random shit up, and then I was just like, do you know what? I don't know why I've put this bollocks picture up that is, like, half out of focus, it's terribly taken, it's, like, just a picture of, I don't know, me, like, my cat and me sitting on the sofa or something. I was just like, I'm just going to use it as a tool to put up pictures of something that I really like, of effectively what I would define as artwork, right? And I just see people put pictures up of Instagram. I'm like, why have you put that up? Mm. Why do you want people to see this?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. And, you know, you can obviously ignore anything you're not interested in or you don't like on Instagram, but I think it's more the whole...
The other day, I couldn't sleep at night, so I just went through and unfollowed basically anyone who wasn't either a family member, an artist, or... that was it. A family member or in some way creates what I would define as art, or someone I have to follow for work reasons. That's only three criteria, because I was just like... I'm just watching, like, people's, like, roast dinners... on a Sunday, and it's like, I don't care.
Well, that's all social media, though, isn't it? It's all kind of one-upmanship,
but Facebook's
really.
Kind of stopped that as well, hasn't it? Yeah. And actually, I always, you know, it's not just me. The people who are bragging about how good their lives are on Facebook and social media, their lives are clearly shit.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't feel the need to do that.
Yeah.
If your life was genuinely that great. It's almost like you're just trying to convince yourself by saying it.
Social media, or Facebook and Twitter, are at their best when people are asking questions and answering questions. Mm. When you just put a status up. And I can understand you might want to go, look at me, I've just bought a brand new car. I understand that, but actually, I think there's no real, you know, you should probably tell your close friends and family that, and then that should be it.
I totally agree.
That you met at the Christmas party a couple of years ago to really have any knowledge of.
No, I completely agree. And I think people probably did that in the earlier days of social media because it was a novelty to be able to do that. But now, most people are just sick of it and they will unfollow or unfriend you if you are just constantly bragging. Because it is needless.
Yeah.
But then I find going back to the food thing, I suppose it's not so much with things like sweets or milkshakes made of chocolate bars. I suppose it's more the sort of the clean eating movement, because then that implies that other forms of eating are dirty. And it's like, well, they're not, are they? That's just, you may be eating more veg or seeds than someone else, but equally, if they want to go and have a McDonald's Big Mac, that's fine.
Just let them do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. McDonald's isn't that bad.
I mean, it could be worse, couldn't it?
No. Yes, it could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. Do you remember Wimpy? That was worse.
I've never been to a Wimpy.
I went to one Wimpy in Cornwall and my dad got food poisoning.
Oh, no. My parents' first date was at Wimpy.
Actually, my dad also went to another Wimpy in Borehamwood and he met Roy Wood.
Who's Roy Wood?
You know that guy who used to... with the Wizard?
As in the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the long hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
He was just chilling in the Wimpy.
Yeah,
that's an amazing story.
Mm.
That's great. I've never been to Wimpy. I really want to go. There's two places.
There's
I really
one left in Borehamwood, I think.
Is there? There's one. I'm pretty sure there's one in Wembley.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Right by the stadium. And every time I pass it, I'm like, I need to go to that because
I don't think I'd dare set foot in it. I just feel like you might die.
No, you'll be fine. The other place I really want to go to is the Aberdeen Angus Steakhouses that are in London.
I've been there.
What?
Yeah, I've actually been to one.
Why? Were you new? Did no one tell you that you don't go to them?
No. Me and my friend knew that you don't go to them, but we thought we'd go to them for a laugh, just to see why people go to them if they're tourists.
What was it like?
It's kind of, I mean,
I want to make a YouTube video about it.
Have you been to TGI Fridays? Yeah. Similar to that.
So who's in there? Is anyone in there got an English accent?
No.
Yeah, I thought that.
So
you know when you go
tourists are the only people that go.
When you go on holiday abroad, right, and you end up doing all these touristy things.
Yeah.
But in your mind, you're like, when you go to a city, you're like, I don't want to do touristy things, but you end up doing them anyway because you have to, right? So, for example, when you go to Rome and you end up having a pasta in a restaurant next to the Colosseum, you're like, I know this is not an authentic Italian restaurant, this is just a tourist trap, but you do it because you're starving because you just walked around in the baking sun around the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Right? And how no Italian people go there. I suppose in London there's got to be a whole range of things that only tourists do, and I imagine Aberdeen Angus Steakhouse is that thing.
But then I don't know why, you know, it's just a chain
steakhouse.
Was it good?
It wasn't
awful. It wasn't amazing, but...
You know, I'm very picky about my steaks, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh,
I went
yes.
5 years.
Okay, well,
steak,
then it might not meet your standards then.
No.
But it was honestly, it was no worse than a TGI Fridays.
I really want to do it.
But then I just don't know why people get so up in arms about a chain restaurant. It's, you know, it's obviously not going to be the best, but why look down on it?
Because, no, the reason is, I don't think it's actually looking down on it, right? Going to a restaurant is still something that a lot of people really treasure and really love doing. And the idea that you're going to a restaurant that is considered terrible, because basically, like, with food, it's all about perception, isn't it? Like, if I went to a restaurant and came back and said, oh my God, Thea, that restaurant was amazing, it's the best steak I've ever had, whatever like that, you've got to go and do it. You're going to go and have that steak, and you're going to be... The vast majority of people who I recommend to go and eat there will just come back and say, yeah, that food's amazing. There's very few people that will turn around and be like, actually, that steak was quite bad. Unless you've had a really terrible experience, because most people just patter along. There's loads of food chains that exist in this. Well, I don't want to mention them because they'll, like, in case they listen and they sue me or whatever. But I keep getting recommendations to go somewhere, and I'll go somewhere and I'll be like, that food was awful. It was terrible. I can't believe they're getting away selling that kind of crap.
Mm.
But these restaurants
still
exist. Obviously,
you want to go out to an independent restaurant that's going to use quality ingredients or have inventive recipes, then you're clearly not going to go to an Aberdeen Angus Steakhouse. That's just a given. But
why not? Why? Like, I know nothing about it other than you shouldn't. It's a bit of a cliche to go there, or it's not even a cliche. It's the whole thing.
Well, I think
is,
if you
rubbish.
Want a small independent place, well, then you're not going to go there just because it doesn't fulfil that criteria, does
yeah.
it? It's. I think just even before I did go in it, I just assumed it would. Well, I wasn't surprised by it being quite similar to TGI Fridays or, you know, a Wetherspoon steak or anything you would get in a
yeah.
middle market.
Was it
market.
Expensive? Like, how much was a steak there?
I honestly can't remember. It wasn't that cheap, but it wasn't eye-wateringly expensive.
Yeah.
It was probably, you know, I think we paid maybe like 20, 25 quid each.
Oh, okay.
So pretty standard.
So the point I was going to make about the Aberdeen Angus Steakhouse is it's just its reputation.
Yeah.
Because so few people have been there, no one actually knows what it's like.
Well, that is true. That is true. But yeah, I don't know. I think there is a bit of snobbery, though, in some areas. Like, oh my God, why would you go there? Everyone knows you don't go there. And
yeah.
it's sort of like, well, you know, if you don't actually live in London or you're just visiting, well, they're not going to know that you don't go there, are
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and also they are in very convenient locations.
Yeah,
they
are.
By a tube
oh,
station.
No, they yeah. are. They are. But I think, you know, if once you do get to know London a bit better, they're not locations that you would probably go out of choice, like Oxford Circus or Piccadilly
Paddington,
Circus
yeah.
or Leicester Square. Like, you know, yeah. you're not going to go there because it's crowded and horrible and there is nothing of interest there.
Do
so,
you go to Piccadilly Circus much?
No.
Because I really want to go to the Bubblegum Shrimp place. But
no oh,
one ever
no.
wants to go with
no, why?
Because it just looks so much fun.
No, it doesn't. Have you seen they do
Forrest
this?
Forrest Gump's one of my favourite films. I love prawns and shrimp.
I saw a picture of their shrimp chowder and it looked like puke. I'm sorry, but I just...
I'm not
no.
going to go there to drink the soup. I'm going there to eat big-ass shrimps.
Well, I would actually go with you, but I think I might have developed a shellfish allergy, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, every birthday, my parents would be like, what do you want to do? And I'd be like, I just want to go to the Pizza Hut buffet. And they were like, so you just want to go to Pizza Hut buffet on your birthday? And I, when I say kid, I mean, like, I was quite old at this point, maybe up to the age of about 17. I was like,
really?
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, just go to the Pizza Hut buffet. Maybe I might order something off the menu if the buffet isn't very good. Because I wouldn't go the rest of the year. So I'd just be like, I'd get back
You'd
to my birthday.
You'd save it for your birthday.
I'd save it for my birthday. And I was just like, yeah, that's great. And they'd be like, so you can go to, like, we'll pretty much take you to anywhere within reason, and you wouldn't just go to the Pizza Hut buffet for lunch. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Then I could do something in the evening with my friends.
Well, maybe you should go to the shrimp place and report back.
Yeah, I will. Anyway, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
If people want to get in touch with you or, like, follow what you're doing, or because you're leaving your current employment,
I am.
Are we allowed to say what you're going to do?
If you want.
Right.
I don't mind.
So you're a journalist and you're going to do journalism somewhere else,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
What's the best way to get in touch with you on social media?
Just follow me on Twitter, just under my name, Thea De Gallier.
Great.
You can find me quite easily on there.
What's it like having I was going to say double barrel, but it's not a double barrel. So
no, it's just got a D.
Yeah, two words.
Annoying.
Is it?
Yeah. No one can spell it. I have to spell my name out every time I have to phone up anywhere and give my name, like the bank, or, you know, if I'm calling out someone for work because I need a comment from them and they go, what's your email? I have to spell out the whole thing. Or I get letters addressed to the wrong name. I get people putting a capital D when it's not a capital D. They put De Gallier as all one word when
it's not. Does it matter if it's not a
capital D? Well, it's just, I mean, no, not really, but that's just not my name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm constantly having to tell people how to spell it. So, yeah, maybe I would have had an easier life if my name was Smith or Jones or something.
If you got married, you can change your surname.
Well, no, this is the thing. Ironically, no, I wouldn't, just because I just don't agree with the ideology of that. So I would say, you know, if my future husband wanted to all of us be the same name, I'd say, well, you're welcome to become Mr. De Gallier. And that's where the conversation would end.
No, well, there are blokes that do that.
I know, but I just don't see why the expectation's always on a woman to give up that part of her identity. So, I know, as irritating as it is, I would keep it.
Fair enough. Maybe in some ways you've grown to like the irritation. It's kind of Stockholm Syndrome for surnames.
Maybe. yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I suppose I'm just used to it now, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Right, we barely talked about the chocolate, but that doesn't matter. Thank you for listening to the Confectionery Cast. You can follow us on Twitter at SweetsPod, and we've got a Facebook page and an Instagram page, though, which we do ironically put pictures of chocolate on, obviously.
I hope you don't shame people for their food choices.
No, we just put pictures of chocolate on it.
Well, that's fine.
And, yeah, please subscribe and tell everyone about how good it is, and leave a ratings on iTunes, but I don't have iTunes. I just push stuff into it, so I don't know how that works. But people are like, oh, yeah, you need to get people to rate your podcast on iTunes. I'm like, yeah, rate it. Ideally, give it a good rating. And thanks for listening, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Bye.